Welcome to the MMA Roadshow, episode number 18. We are in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. My name is John Morgan. The young man, Mike Bond, is sitting here next to me. We must say, right at the top of the hour, Cold Coffee was supposed to be here as well. Had a little bit of visa problems. Wasn't able to get his visa secured in time, so he got turned down. Had to stay home, unfortunately, which I know he was pretty bummed about, but I know we'll get him down to
Brazil. I have no idea what that's like.
Yep. You know a thing or two about visa problems.
I do.
Did you now? I guess just to explain to people, if people have never been to Brazil before, if you're an American and you're thinking about coming to Brazil, you will need to get a visa, and it does take some time. It does take some money. You have to send off your passport and all those things, and they are serious about it. You got to get your documentation in right. As Cold Coffee learned, unfortunately, the hard way, they will turn you down. As a Canadian, did you have to have a visa as well?
Yeah. It was pretty much the same process. I had to send off my passport, pay the fee or whatever, all that stuff, and just took a couple weeks, got back. I didn't have too much of an issue. I went to like an actual, you know, place that does international visas for all the countries, and pretty
so
much
unlike
gave
the United States, they weren't giving you a hard time.
No, It wasn't too bad. It was actually a pretty smooth process, and just had to send my passport off for a few weeks. So that was kind of the biggest hassle about it, but it was all good and It worked out.
Now
here we are.
Now we're here. So quick note: if you ever want to come down to Brazil, make sure you plan ahead. You can't do it last minute because you want me to go. Now we're sitting in the Sheraton Hotel. I want to set the scene here. It is Thursday night as we tape this, the way we normally do. The UFC has picked a fantastic hotel here in the Sheraton. This is the nicest hotel I've ever stayed in since I've been coming down to Brazil. There's no doubt about it. And as we sit here in the lobby bar with a couple of frosty skulls here in front of us, literally the ocean is right here in front of us. We're in this beautiful bar with just glass windows everywhere overlooking the entire beach. A little overcast today. It is, we should say, the middle of the winter here, but middle of the winter in Rio de Janeiro means I'm still wearing shorts and a t-shirt because it's like 75
exactly.
degrees. Ironically, the Canadian is buttoned up there in a hoodie. We should also say as we get started that there's a Reebok meeting going on over here in the corner with all the Brazilian media, which I'm kind of sad to hear. We didn't get an invitation to that, so I've been listening to the Reebok presentation as we just sit here like a couple of chumps recording a podcast.
Yeah, apparently we aren't part of the cool kids club on this one. Didn't get the invite.
I'm seeing Guilherme Cruz over there at MMA Fighting. He'll definitely have contact over there, so they should have some stuff on there. I'm seeing some Sherdog representatives, so everybody else in the MMA media will be good. Just don't look for it on MMA Junkie because we won't have any coverage.
Yes, apparently not. But we do, if we want to get our own Reebok information, I'm sure we're more than capable if it comes down to it.
It was kind of funny to hear right before we jumped on the air to start recording this, they were explaining away the mistakes that they had made on the initial rollout with the jersey names. And they were like, hey, it's important to note that we didn't actually produce those jerseys. Those were just mock-ups.
That's kind of a lie, though. Ask Sean O'Connell that.
Did he get an
actual shirt with his... only one L instead of two. He posted
it
on Instagram.
I didn't see that.
It was the actual thing. He posted it on his Instagram if you want to check that out. So they say that it was only in theory on the website, but at least one spelling error actually got produced.
Leave it up to Sean O'Connell to be the guy, and he'll talk about it too.
The real OC.
No problem. I love that guy. He's fantastic. Well, you're down here in Rio. This is your first ever trip to Brazil. I know this was one that you said was kind of on your bucket list of things to do, and I don't blame you. I've always been a big fan since I've came down here for events that I think people should come experience. Now, you haven't actually experienced event night yet, obviously, but just give me your first impressions of Rio de Janeiro, as they would say here locally.
Nothing to complain about. Of course, it's beautiful. Like you said earlier, it's the middle of winter, so we've got a little bit of overcast weather. But today was actually, this morning and most of the day, was beautiful, sunny, very hot. So it's kind of hit and miss, but I'm completely fine with that. It's still nicer than a lot of the things I experienced living in Canada. So I'm happy. And yeah, of course, you know, we got to do the open workouts Wednesday, the media day today, Thursday. And it's a very cool experience being around international media, just seeing how they operate as opposed to how we do things in the United States and Canada. And yeah, it's been a great experience so far. A beautiful city, beautiful hotel, as you mentioned, great people. And we have a hell of a fight card coming on Saturday night.
We definitely do. I know that you got to go out a little bit yesterday. I was stuck working on the website, but you got to venture out a little bit. So in addition to, you know, we have seen a little bit of the town already this week. Safety was something that's always brought up when people come to Rio de Janeiro or to Brazil in general. And I kind of wonder because, you know, I've been down here. This is I counted it up before so I would know. This is my 22nd trip to Brazil, seven of which have been to Rio de Janeiro. And I don't I don't feel unsafe. You know, I mean, I think I don't necessarily venture out by myself. I usually have a Portuguese speaker with me when we go out and have dinner at night or a couple cocktails, whatever the case may be. But Front Row Brian, of course, our buddy there, you know, he tweeted the memo earlier this week, and I saw it getting some play and some traction and some discussion. It's a safety memo, basically, that the USC distributes to all its employees to say, you know, be safe while you're out there. These are things you need to be aware of. Now, what I don't think was clear to everybody is that that memo has been distributed every single time there's been a trip down here to Brazil. And it was also distributed in Mexico as well, Mexico City, when they went down there. So I just wonder, I mean, listen, there are favelas very close to where we are,
right,
no doubt about
it.
We can see the beautiful beach, but we can also see the favelas right across it. But I just wonder, I mean, what has your thought been on your safety and you know, are you concerned? Because people always ask me, isn't it dangerous? The first thing you say, I'm going to Brazil. Bro, isn't it dangerous? You got to be careful. And I guess I just don't see it. But I'm curious, with you, a fresh set of eyes, what have you felt like?
Well, I'll admit, before coming down here, I definitely was a little bit nervous and had thought about it, wondering, you know, what was it actually going to be like? But, you know, I talked to lots of people like yourself who have made multiple trips down here, and you've never really said anything about having serious issues, and I've got that same experience myself. Of course, we're in a nice hotel. You feel very safe here. It's a little bit isolated from, you know, I'm sure maybe some of the worst parts of the city. But, yeah, like you said, Favela right across the street. The UFC sent out a memo saying, you know, don't walk in that area. If you're going to walk past there, definitely take a cab. But all the cabs, it's not one of those things where you get in, it's, you know, you got to haggle, or it's just whatever. They have meters. It's kind of Americanized in that way. So I haven't really felt anything to be worried about. Granted, I haven't, you know, walked down maybe the wrong street by myself at whatever o'clock at night, but right now, I haven't felt, you know, a point where I'm in danger or that I should be worried about anything. Everyone here seems extremely friendly, extremely nice, and I'm surprised at the amount of English speakers, too. There's a lot of that down here, and anytime I've needed help with anything, they're more than willing. Great food, went out for dinner last night into the city, so it's been great so far. There's being concerned about my, you know, well-being is one of the least last thoughts on my mind at this point right now.
My theory on it has always been this. You know, if you see a street that you probably wouldn't walk down in your own hometown, then you probably shouldn't walk down it wherever you are in the world, whether it be Rio or wherever else. I mean, there's just places, you know, that you shouldn't go. It's pretty obvious. Like, that's a sketchy-looking little area. Maybe I shouldn't be there. And I just feel like whether you're in Brazil or whether you're at your home or anywhere, you just know, don't go in there. So that's the way I've always looked at it. I mean, don't get me wrong. You could get yourself in trouble in this town. There's no doubt about
Absolutely.
It. You could get yourself killed if you mess around. But I think you can get yourself killed in a lot of places. If there is a serious problem down here, though, and I think that you've come fully to grips with this today, internet absolutely sucks everywhere in this country.
Yes, the internet is a struggle. It took me about 30 minutes to just get one email to go through earlier today trying to send some stories from the media day. It's a difficult task. The phone, the computer, pretty much any device you use, it's unless you have a hardline Ethernet cord or something, it's not gonna be easy on you. It's definitely a troubling experience.
Yeah,
but
that's the one job. I got to be ready for that.
If that's the biggest problem, I think I can live with it.
It'll survive. Well, let's talk about what we've done this week so far. We both did get in on Tuesday, kind of got settled in. Wednesday was the open workouts. And very cool location on the beach at Barra de Tijuca. Outdoors, which was cool, but they had the mats covered, which is the first. Normally they've had the mats outside, and if it gets a little too hot, Chad Mendez, Jose Aldo, one was actually outside, and the guys were burning their feet. They had to, you know, like wear sandals and sort of things because it got too hot. But a really cool setup, nice turnout of fans, you know, on the beach. Really cool, obviously, for shooting pictures and that sort of thing, but you know, some great interviews, some great workouts, but of course, I mean, the biggest takeaway just has to be the welcome that Ronda Rousey got. I mean, I just shocking to me. I mean, I knew that she was going to be popular down here, and I knew that it was going to be mixed. You know, I had a feeling, yes, Brazilians like to cheer for their own, and they want to be nationalistic, but you knew Ronda was a superstar and was going to get some attention. But how blown away were you by just that reception that she received at the open workouts?
Yeah, I was really blown away. We saw a little bit of hints of it when they announced this fight in March, and I believe it was during the World Tour with Conor McGregor and Jose Aldo, and they brought Betch Kohei and Ronda Rousey out and officially announced this event, date, location, all those kind of things. And we saw then Ronda got some cheers, but this just took it to the next level. She hit that – the second she hit that beach and just, you know, someone got a glimpse of her face, it was people screaming, women crying. It was just I have never seen anything like it. Even you know, being in Canada and seeing George St. Pierre fight at his absolute peak, it didn't really compare to, you know, then that saying, you know, George St. Pierre going to another country and getting that kind of reception. It's crazy. I've never seen anything like how people were treating Ronda, just begging for picture, autograph, even just get a touch of her, a glimpse, anything. It was pretty remarkable. And Ronda being Ronda, the amazing person she is, that's always willing to put herself out there and do all those extra things, she, to her credit, stood there after her workout for probably an hour or so, which delayed our ability to talk to her and go do our work for the day. But she went around and signed photos, took pictures for at least an hour, and when you thought she was done, she took off and went and signed a bunch more, jumped the barricade.
That was fantastic.
Kept doing it. Gave the security guards a clear heart attack by just running away from them and diving into a group of screaming, crying Brazilian women and men. It was something that was hard. People have video. I think the UFC was doing a live periscope of the scrum or of the media day. People were watching it, but unless you were there, you can't fully comprehend just how just emotional these people were about just seeing her and getting close to her. It was really remarkable.
The first time I'd seen that was when she was fighting in Vegas, and we've talked about this week, but she was at Fashion Show Mall. They did an open workouts mall there in Las Vegas, and same thing. She obviously, after her workout, before she came to do the scrum, she went to sign some autographs and take some pictures, and there were girls that were crying and like shaking. And I always said it was like the Beatles. You know, it reminds me of like old footage you see, you know, like just women shrieking and crying and that's what they're doing. And it was cool because, as you mentioned, you know, Ronda had already signed with a bunch of them. Security kind of corralled her over a little bit, and from what I was told, she basically was like, hey, hang on, I forgot something on stage. And so she turned around and then just darted so she could jump the barrier and go sign with more autographs.
That's amazing. And that just shows what kind of person Ronda is. She's wanting to get back to her fans, especially in a foreign country. She fully admitted to us in the scrum after that she didn't really know what to expect. She said she was holding out hope that would be the reaction, but she didn't fully understand it until it was right there in front of her, and she seemed just as blown away by it by anyone else. And it just goes to show, once again, she's an absolute rock star, not just in the States, everywhere right now. I think you could take her to basically any country and she would probably get a very similar reaction.
Completely agree with you, man. I mean, they're talking about, you know, needing a headliner in Australia or what have you. I mean, I think you can really take her anywhere. Although, you know, I hate to take her away from the United States. Obviously, she's popular there too, but I really do feel like she could headline anywhere.
Yeah, and that's the thing. That's why I'm sure the UFC would prefer to keep her in the United States, and that's why I imagine most of her fights will be in Las Vegas, Los Angeles, whatever, just because the media attention there, it's just so much easier to, you know, take her to a lot in Los Angeles and do all these satellite interviews, as opposed, you can still kind of do it down here, but it's not quite the same.
Right.
It's a little more challenging. So that's probably the reason why they'll keep her in the States more often than not. But why not? We obviously don't know exactly how many fights Ronda has left. That remains a mystery, according to her. It's just one fight at a time, see how long each fight goes, and she's just going to reassess every time. But if, say, we have the fortune of keeping her around for 3, 4, 5 more years and she fights, say, 10 more times,
right,
I have no doubt they'll take her to some other spots around the world, because why wouldn't they?
Yeah, I think so. I think they definitely will. And she's fantastic, man. She does every bit of media. It's incredible. Her schedule is just absolutely insane. She is, of course, one half of the main event, UFC 190.
Oh, she's obviously fighting someone?
Yeah,
I forgot.
Just a Ronda Rousey.
I thought she was just going to go shadow box for an hour in the main event.
People would probably show up for that, too. Betch Kohea, obviously, in the main event as well. I wanted to get your thoughts on Betch Kohea, because I will say this, you know, she exudes confidence. I mean, I don't think she's just trying to hype herself up and trying to, you know, sell to herself that she has a chance. I think that she thinks this is her destiny and she's going to beat Ronda Rousey. But, I mean, her demeanor at the open workouts, what she did. I mean, what are your thoughts on just being around Betch this week?
She definitely, that's a great assessment. She's very confident. She has that self-belief that you see in certain fighters, and you might not understand why it exists, why they have that attitude, but it's there and it's unshakable. There's nothing that anyone can say or ask her a question about that's just going to take her mindset away from what it is, and that's that she's going to be the one to make this all come crashing down for Ronda Rousey. Not many people back that notion, but you got to respect her for just having the same demeanor from the second this fight was announced and they did that first press conference until, you know, today, I'm sure tomorrow at the weigh-ins, everything. She's kept the same attitude, and is it false confidence? Is it ignorance that she just doesn't actually completely understand what she's getting herself into, and she's just, that confidence is misplaced? I don't know, but either way, that's what's going to bring out the best fight in her. Hopefully she doesn't fight overconfident and to the point where she thinks she can take Ronda Rousey in the clinch or something like that,
right,
and she ends up getting tossed on her head. But if she fights smart and tries to go in there, you know, doing what she does best, I think she could make it a little bit of a fight. I don't think anyone's going to be picking her to win, but it's all about confidence in there. It's just as much confidence as anything. I spoke to Fabricio Werdum at the open workouts, and for a story that appeared today in USA Today in the print edition, and I basically asked him, you know, you pulled off one of the biggest upsets in MMA history against Fedor Emelianenko back in 2009, 2010, I believe it was. And it was all about confidence. No one gave him a shot in that fight. Of course, training, having skills and everything. But he said one of the biggest things is he believed in himself. No one did. No one else did. But he knew that he was going to win that fight. He knew how he was going to win that fight. And he went out there and did it. But it's just hard to say. Ronda Rousey is just a different animal, I think. She's not a Fedor Emelianenko who's maybe at the end of his prime, who fights maybe very sloppily. She's not going to, you know, if Betch had a very dangerous guard off her back, she would go doing like flying Shogun-esque punches into her guard type of thing. So Ronda Rousey is a lot smarter of a fighter, and it's just a different world in that sense than the heavyweight fight. But Betch, you know, we've seen time and time again that anything can happen in the sport. I would be absolutely flabbergasted if something happened and she emerged victorious. But she's doing all the right things. She has the right mindset, saying the right things going into this fight to give herself as much of a chance as possible.
I completely agree with you. I think she's at least got the mindset to make it interesting. Her confidence is incredible. Let's just say that the Reebok meeting is breaking up over here. It looked like Jacare was over there. Yeah, he was sitting in on that. So we're just all kinds of chumps over here, man. They just
blow
us
off. Taking some photos with the media now?
Yeah, man.
Classic.
This is rough, dude.
Classic
Brazil. Next thing you know, man, seat's going to be on the last row of the press row when we get there on Saturday night. Let me ask you something. Did you take away anything particular from the open workouts, just seeing, I mean, we all know, you know, we all watch a lot of fights, man. You see them on tape, and but then you get there sometimes and you size people up, you stand next to them both, you watch them. Because, I mean, the biggest thing to me, and it's not that it was any surprise going in, but just confirming what I already thought, and I think one reason people are favoring Ronda so much, it's not even the judo, to be honest with you, it's just the speed difference that Ronda has. I mean, the explosiveness and the athleticism and the quickness that she has versus Betch has a lot of brute power. There's no doubt about it. But, you know, Ronda says she wants to beat Betch in the most embarrassing way possible. I wonder if that means that, like, she'll just keep it on the feet and try to light her up on the feet. Because I got to be honest, I mean, watching how good her striking has gotten and seeing how quick she is, you know, it might be risky because Betch could certainly catch her. But, gosh, Ronda's just so much faster than she is.
Yeah, and the striking, it's just very noticeable. And that's supposed to be Betch's go-to kind of thing, right? She's saying she's going to keep it on the feet. Ronda's never experienced a punch in the face. She's going to give her that first shot and see how she reacts and all that stuff. But Ronda just looks like a completely different animal on the feet. We don't get to see much of it because her fights are so quick. She finishes pretty much everything by submission on the ground. But there's been little glimpses there. That shot she landed on Alexis Davis that led to the finish at UFC 175. We've seen little increments of it, and that was over a year ago. So where has she come in this past year? Of course, in her last fight against Kat Zingano, we saw zero striking. So if you talk to the people around her, her coaches, her other trainers, apparently she beats, you know, professional boxers in sparring consistently. So if that's true, you know, she's terrifying on the feet. She's just such an elite athlete that her ground game or her striking is catching up to her ground game at such a rapid pace that I would be very interested to see how she would fare in just a stand-up fight. But yeah, her physical, you know, size, strength, all that thing just looks like it's going to be give her so much more power. Her speed, her technique, she just seems very crisp all around as opposed to Betch. I don't really know what her approach is going to be on the feet. You don't see, especially in women's MMA, you know, people getting rocked with strikes on the feet that often. So you sit there and you look at this fight and you just wonder how on earth Betch is going to win, what she can possibly do outside of, you know, Ronda Rousey stepping out there and Patrick Cotang herself and blowing her knee out and falling over in agony. That's basically the only thing I can see, and that's no disrespect to Betch. It's just the reality of the situation.
Yeah, say that, you know, because it sounds like you're being disrespectful, but, yeah. I mean, that's also our job, I think, as analysts to call it like we see it and not – pretend like it's a better fight than this. It feels a lot to me. Maybe I won't say it feels a lot like that, but it reminds me of like when Anthony Johnson fought Little Nog, and you're just like, there's just no way this is going to end well for Little Nog, right? This is just not going to be good. And, of course, afterwards, you know, the San Jose Police Department asked us all to fill out crime scene witness reports because obviously it was so ridiculous. And I know that Rhonda says she's going to, you know, stretch this thing out to punish Betch, but
I don't even know what that means. Like, she
says
that.
Does that mean you're, like, carrying her, basically?
Yeah, like, I really don't understand that. So what is she going to... You know, if she has an armbar fully locked up, is she not going to crank it? I mean, I imagine she says, you know, she wants to make her pay for saying all this stuff. Wouldn't making her pay be, if she gets that arm, cranking it as hard as she possibly can and making sure it breaks, something like that? It's so weird when someone says, you know, I'm going to kind of drag it out and make her, you know, make her fight me longer. I don't want to end this one super quick. But, yeah, I don't really understand what that means. And maybe she'll show us something that we've never seen before that'll just, like, blow our minds, and she really will drag it out in a way. But I just, in a fight with so much stakes, so much on the line, especially for Rhonda, to do something like that, I don't know, it just seems like an unnecessary risk.
Yeah, I agree. That's the word, the risk, because there's so much on the line, man. If something did go wrong, I mean, let's say she passes up a clear rear naked choke, or she passes up a clear armbar because she wants to inflict some punishment, and then she gets up and twists her knee, or she gets up and gets caught. Let's not even take it.
Or Betch lands something and cuts her open right above the eyebrow, something like that, and they have to stop it. There's a million things that can happen in a fight, and that's why Rhonda has said multiple times in the past that that's why she goes out there and tries to finish it as quickly as possible, because she wants to minimize, you know, any risk of any of these things happening. She just wants to go do her job and come out. And it's such a change in attitude now that she's speaking like she wants to drag it out. It's kind of anti everything she's kind of set up to this point, but it seems like a very personal fight for her. She explained why she wants to do that, because she, I think a lot of people agree, the four horsewomen thing, the way Betch has kind of talked herself into this fight, and of course she did have to win fights, three UFC fights, to get into this position, right. But she, I don't know, she's just, what challenge does she really present, and what, you know, Rhonda, she says she wants to make an example of her, but so no one will talk their way into a title fight, disrespect her family, all those kind of things. But, yeah, it's such a lopsided matchup that why would she, you know, risk dragging it out? It doesn't make any sense to me.
It will be pretty funny if it turns out that it's like a training grappling match. Like, she's out there just, like, going to the armbar but letting it go, transitioning to something else but letting it go, moving. That will be pretty embarrassing.
That would be an incredible sight. And I am glad that we'll be there in person to witness that. But I don't see how, like, I think you brought it up, you know, to her, if you really have that position instinctively, it's her instinct to finish it. We saw in her last fight, she fights so much on instinct, she does a cartwheel on her head into an armbar that we've really never seen before.
Right.
It's once you go in there, that, and that's what so many fighters say, that's what they train to do. They don't train to, you know, go do a certain thing and then think about what they want to do next. They put so many hours in the gym that it's just second nature to them. It's reactions. So how's she going to react when she has that opportunity to finish the fight? We'll see. Is she that conscious of what she's doing? I have no idea. That's what makes it so interesting, I guess.
It does. It's a great card. Unfortunately, there's a lot of good fights on it. But that outside was Wednesday. Today, this morning, I wanted to get to quickly the Ultimate Media Day, which is a little bit more of a sane, normally, a bit more of a sane little setup. It's not open to fans. It's just open to media. Everybody, you know, comes in. Everybody's got their seat in front of their little boards and that have their name on it, pictures, and media can just free to walk up and ask and whatever. But I got to say, and I've been to a lot of these, today was one of the craziest scenes I've ever seen covering these things with, I mean, I almost got in a fight in the middle of the scrum. People were literally pushing and shoving, and I don't mean, you know, kind of jostling for position a little bit, you know, maybe rubbing shoulders because everybody's trying to squeeze in. I'm talking about literally could feel hands on my back, like pushing me, because people are trying to get space for their camera to get their shot or to get their video or whatever. And I'm pretty patient with most things, but I was pretty damn annoyed at getting shoved in the back. But you were in a little bit different position, but I mean, did it feel as hectic and insane to you as it did to me?
It did, for sure. I was in there pretty much right next to you in the scrum, and I felt multiple people, you know, hitting me in the side of their head with their cameras, trying to get a shot over my shoulder, telling me to lean one way, telling me to lean the other way. And for the most part, you know, we are media. We you know, we try to stick in this thing together. We're all trying to work towards the same goal here, is covering the sport as best we can. So, you know, if you want to need to go over my shoulder to take a picture or whatever,
out of the way for you a little bit.
I'll gladly do that. But, yeah, don't take it to a point where, you know, you get into a yelling match or you're screaming at me in Portuguese when I can't even understand what you're saying. It's just, yeah, it was a little bit disrespectful of other people, just of our space, of the fact that we were there first setting up our cameras. But I guess that just shows in another way, Ronda Rousey, these people are willing to do anything to get their shot of her, and that's just how big of a star. They need their content from her.
It's a bizarre way to evaluate, but that's exactly what it was. I mean, to me, it reminded me a lot. I mean, the most intense I'd seen to date was Anderson Silva at the very first UFC show down here in Brazil. And I think a lot of it was, I think they had like 400 credentialed media that time because, you know, it was the first time it was coming back in forever. It was a big deal. Obviously, it was Anderson Silva. And it was just insane. I think there's less. I think I heard there's like 160, 170 credentialed media, something like that. But it just felt crazy in there. And, you know, it's funny because, you know, the way Ultimate Media Day works after we do the interviews and they have face-offs as well, you can't be in two places at once. But usually what we do, as you said, we'll make sure we're there first, we're there early, make sure we're the first people in line so that we have plenty of time to set up, we're not rushing, and we'll always set some gear down in a position where we're going to have our tripod for the face-offs. I mean, you're basically staking out your real estate for later. And people know, shit, we're just grabbing my stuff and just moving it. Like, what does this need to be here for?
Yeah, it's a weird, just like I said, it's a weird way to put it, though, but it just shows how desperate the need for the Ronda Rousey content is. Everyone, you know, that's why we're here. Of course, there's lots of other great fighters on this card, other great fights, which we may talk about later.
It's still the Ronda show.
It's still the Ronda show, and that's what everyone wants. They want the Ronda scrum. They want to make sure they have a good position for the stare down, for all those kind of things. So, in a way, I don't blame them, but yeah, it's, you know, part of the whole having respect for your colleagues type of thing. If we're there first, you got to respect that. But you know, I think the media plays by different rules down here in Brazil, as we've seen a few times in the past.
What did you make of the face-off? We knew it was going to be intense. I mean, Ronda, she's got that scowl. That's what she does. She's got that mean mug down to a science, man. There's nothing better than fight night, man, when that, you know, her song comes on and they'll always have the blackout.
Yeah.
And then the lights will come on and it'll be her face with that damn scowl, man. She has got it, the look. But she went up there and, man, Betch, I couldn't hear her. And even if I could, I don't understand much Portuguese.
Yeah.
I haven't heard anybody say what it was she was saying yet. But whatever she was saying, man, she was saying right in Ronda's face and was not backing down at all. What'd you make of that scene?
Well, poor Sean Shelby, he looked like he was just crossing his fingers that both those two would keep it together and not do anything beyond, you know, give each other a mean look and say a few words. But yeah, it was, you know, Ronda Rousey's stare downs for the most part, very intense. She's had her moments here and there, like I believe the first Misha Tate fight, I think they pushed each other, something like that. So she's had her moments, but yeah, it was very intense. It's been so many months of talking back and forth. Of course, they had the original stare down at that press conference when they announced the fight, but since then it's really just been them two talking about each other in media, and there's been so many words exchanged, especially with the whole suicide comments, all those kind of things, which really took it to the next level and made it all personal. But yeah, that stare down, it was one of the better ones I've seen. It was great. You know, they turned when they did their frontward-facing photos. Betch got her, you know, the Brazilian flag. Ronda had the belt. Pretty much everything that you could want in a stare down without going too far.
Right. Yeah, it was pretty intense. It's, again, I mean, I haven't found anybody picking Betch yet. I haven't even heard many people say it's going to be a good fight. You know, I think obviously Ronda's track record shows that she's capable of destroying anybody, and most people just think that, you know, Betch, I don't want to say didn't deserve to be here, because it's not like there was somebody else that deserved it more, you know, but maybe, you know, it just doesn't seem like the right matchup on paper to provide any trouble for her. But, man, again, the confidence that Betch has, I got to say, I respect her, man. She's at least trying to put on a show, and she's going in there. I don't get the feeling she's just going in there for a paycheck and hoping that she doesn't get hurt.
No, definitely. I think she's going to go in there, and she's going to do absolutely everything she can to win the fight. But when you're facing Ronda Rousey, that severely limits your options. It's just, you know, who knows if – I mean, we can get to a whole other bit. If Ronda Rousey wasn't around, would there even be women fighting in the UFC? But let's just, you know, pretend for a minute that there was women's divisions in the UFC and Ronda Rousey just didn't exist, where would Betch-Kahea stand in this division? You know, who would be the champion? Would she be a top contender?
Right.
It's just kind of one of those situations that, you know, say like a Daniel Cormier, he's clearly an amazing, incredible light heavyweight, but he just happens to be at the top of his game. At the same time, there's a guy named John Jones who might be the best fighter ever. And it's happened multiple times in weight classes, you know, Anderson Silva and Chael Sonnen, all these kind of things. People who you're like, damn, dude, if you came around 5 years earlier or 5 years later, you'd probably be the champion. And who knows if that's the case with Betch. We don't know how good she is. She's fighting, like, her UFC opponents, I think, are 1-7 in the UFC, something
right.
like that. So it's a really, we don't even know how good she really is. It's very difficult to gauge her talent. But in terms of, that's kind of what makes it interesting. The UFC has done a great job putting this event together. They did it in Brazil. They are running the angle, you know, fighting in enemy territory, even though it seems like it's going to be more of a home game for Ronda at this point. But that was the kind of the angle. There's the talk back and forth. They promote this perfectly. So even though it's an absolute squash match, I think this is going to do really well on pay-per-view.
I do, too. What do you think? You know, we saw Conor McGregor fight a couple of weeks ago. Obviously, we saw the effect that he had and just what a big star he's become. And I've had the discussion with like a lot of people lately, and it seems to be apt to do it again. As you mentioned, the drawing power that she has, do you think Ronda Rousey is the biggest star in the UFC right now, or do you think it's Conor McGregor?
It's such a tough question to ask because we have so many different measurements of what a star really is. There's gate, there's pay-per-view, there's, you know, obviously live attendance, all these kind of things, media requests. They're both massive, massive stars in their own way. And I asked Ronda the question directly at the open workout scrum. You know, do you think you're a bigger star? There's this debate going on. She pretty much, typical Ronda Rousey, gave the perfect answer and said it's not a competition. He's doing his thing, I'm doing my thing, and together we're elevating this whole sport as a whole. So that's one way to look at it, and I don't really know. You know, Conor, we haven't seen as much of him on pay-per-view. That Jose Aldo fight that was supposed to happen was just such a mega event. They put so much time promoting it, did the whole world tour, just 10 episodes of Embedded on Fight Week, even though it was Chad Mendes who was the opponent. And that, you know, it was on International Fight Week.
Yeah.
There was just all these things, an insane amount to build to it. And according to the UFC or that statement they put out on the website, it did 1 million pay-per-views with all that promotion. You know, if Ronda Rousey, this fight has had far less promotion than that. If she draws, you know, 800,000 pay-per-views, where do you justify that? Because they may have got 1 million on the Conor fight, but they spent way more promoting that.
Right.
So their return might have just not been as much as, say, if they got
good
800
point.
On this one.
Yeah,
and
they didn't spend $1 million just filming a commercial
exactly.
this time around.
So there's so many elements to put into it. If Ronda Rousey had the right opponent, you know, say Cyborg or something, we don't know. Like, I think that's her Conor McGregor, Jose Aldo type thing. That's her greatest foe that would get the biggest selling power. But, you know, let's see Conor McGregor against, you know, if he wins a few title defenses, let's see him fight the Betch-Kahea of the featherweight division and see how he does.
Right.
See what kind of drawing power he has. Right now, I think, I'll take the cheap answer out and say it's too early to tell. But I think, you know, they both are massive stars, and there's ways to measure them both. As you could say, either one is the top one in the company right now.
It is tough. There's a lot of ways to make the argument. I tend to lean on the side of Rousey just because of the mainstream coverage and the things that she gets. But again, it depends on, I guess, what your measuring tool is and how you're trying to analyze it.
Yeah, and I think like Dana White and other people have said as much. Ronda brings attention that no other fighter can get. Certain media outlets, people who write about her, people who ask for interviews, all those kind of things. That's stuff that I think no matter how big Conor McGregor gets, he just might not be able to do. And it might just have to do with the fact that he's not a female. He's not just doesn't have Ronda's same character
right.
traits, all those kind of things. Maybe her same story, all those kind of things. Ronda's just so attractive and like, to a media outlet wanting to get an interview with her, that so many people are going to request that stuff. So, yeah, tons of different measures, but I'd probably agree with you. As to the mainstream, to the casual fan, I'm sure they know Ronda Rousey more. I talked to people, said, do you know who Ronda Rousey is? Who? Do you see the Entourage movie? Oh, yeah, the girl fighter from there. They know right away, right?
That's funny.
So you can't, do you know who Conor McGregor is? No, you don't have that same example you can give at this point. You know, the guy who said he was going to knock out Chad Mendes in the second round and did it. What? Who's Chad Mendes? Like, type of thing. So I think there's more attributes to Ronda Rousey that makes her a bigger star to the casual fan, but in terms of, you know, fighting, drawing the actual eyeballs to the fight, I mean, Conor McGregor's the first person that's allegedly done a million pay-per-views in a very long time, so that's a huge, you know, huge notation on his resume.
It is, no doubt. Well, we've talked exclusively about Ronda Rousey and Betchikoya for good reason. I think that's what this card is mainly about. But it is a 7-fight main card. Just before before I let you go, I wanted to find out what else you're looking forward to on the card. Is there anything else? I think you said that you admit you're kind of a lifelong Shogun Hua fan, so this is kind of a special moment for you to get a chance to see him fight. Anything else?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I have no problem admitting, you know, we all got into the sport one way or the other, whether it was, you know, seeing a certain fighter, a certain fight, whatever, and I have no problem saying Shogun was one of the guys that I first came across, you know.
We're going to take a picture real quick. Hang on. Take his pictures. There you go. You got to pause for the fixtures right there in the middle of it. That's how we do it on the road show. We roll with it.
Yeah. So, you know, Shogun was one of the guys that I came across early in his Pride days, and he watched a lot of his fights, and very much he was one of the people who got me into the sport and made me, follow it as much as I do. So the chance to see him fight live, he was supposed to fight in Calgary at UFC 149, which was the first event I ever covered as media. He got pulled from the card. He was supposed, which I think every fighter got pulled from that devastating card.
He wasn't alone on that one.
Then he was supposed to do the Nogueira rematch originally a few years ago in Winnipeg at UFC 161. So I was going to go to both those shows. I did go to Calgary. So my chances to see him fight live were there and never worked out. And when, you know, I figured that I could make this trip work and that he was on the card, it was just, you know, it just made it all the better. And the fact that, you know, it's in Brazil, he's doing the rematch of arguably, you know, the best fight of his career, the most exciting fight of his career. It's just, it's awesome how it all came together. So I'm really looking forward to that one, but just from a personal standpoint, but from more of a, journalistic interested in, you know, what repercussions the fight has standpoint, it's definitely got to be Jessica Aguilar and Claudia Gaudelia. That's a extremely important fight that's going to open up the pay-per-view. People have been wanting to see Aguilar on the UFC since they announced that weight class and did the season of The Ultimate Fighter, and she happened to sign with World Series of Fighting like 5 days before they announced all that, and she kind of, I mean, you could say the positives and negatives of her going on that show, not going on that show. Maybe it was the right call in the end. She got a nice paycheck from WSOF. They paid her well, got some more experience, you know, got a championship belt, all those things, and now she's finally in the UFC, and she's been ringing her own bell for all these years saying, I am the best strawweight in the world, and if that's true, you know, Claudia Gaudelia is really going to test that theory. She is an amazing fighter. A lot of people believe she beat Joanna Jędrzejczyk when they fought. I was doing an article earlier, I think, looking back on MMADecisions.com, 12 of 14 media outlets scored that fight for Gaudelia.
I know I did.
So a lot of people thought she won. So you could argue she should still be undefeated. She should maybe have been the one who fought for that title against Carla Esparza. So she's obviously extremely elite in that weight class. And this is just in terms of, you know, in the main event, we have, you know, maybe a more lopsided matchup on the women's side of things, but in the opening fight of this pay-per-view, you have two extremely skilled, high-level competitive fighters that one's going to have a big impact on the future of the 115 class, and of course, I think the winner of that gets the next title shot.
I agree. I think there's going to be some decent fights in this card. You know, looking at some of the stylistic matchups, I think there's some better fights than people are really giving it credit to, because, first of all, I mean, the two Ultimate Fighter Brazil finals, I've got to think most American fans haven't seen 1 minute of that show.
Have you?
So they'll have. No, I haven't. This is the first season I haven't seen a minute of. This is the first season of any season of The Ultimate Fighter that I have not watched a single minute of.
Did you not watch any in the beginning when the whole Anderson Silva things happened? I didn't catch any of that either.
No, I didn't even catch any of that. You know what? I take that back. You're right. I don't have to jinx myself anymore. I did see that. That's been so long now, man. It's with the delay in the finals. I forgot how long ago it was. So you know what? I did watch some of the season, so I feel better about myself
there
now.
There you go. And, I mean, maybe we should clarify if people are wondering why this is a 7-fight main card – a lot of people are saying, you know, Ronda Rousey's fight is going to be so one-sided and dominant that they put two extra fights on the pay-per-view. That's not the case. There was that card that was supposed to happen in Hollywood, Florida a couple months ago that a bunch of fighters got pulled because of visa issues. And this fight, these two fights were supposed to be on that card. They got moved to this one, and I believe the UFC's television deal with Globo,
that's right,
they wanted that these fights on the main card so the whole audience could see it because the season was on that channel,
right,
and everything. So if people are wondering why these fights are on the main card, it's more of a UFC television deal with their Brazilian TV partner, and that's how it played out. It's not because they're trying to compensate for the main event being lopsided,
sure,
or something like that. That's not the case.
I didn't even know people were saying that. That's ridiculous. Well, I'm not never surprised. I shouldn't be. Well, I'll tell you what. I am hoping for a special environment on Saturday night. There have been so many events down here over the years. Some of them stand out as being extremely special. The first one being very much so, just incredible environments. But, you know, as they've gone to some smaller towns and come with some fight nights that didn't necessarily have the greatest lineups, there were some events here in Brazil where it was just like, man, this is not really the Brazilian experience. You know what I mean? It wasn't the packed house. It wasn't, you know, the chants of Uvai Moreira from the very beginning and just loud, you know, passionate fans. But I think with the level of interest that I'm seeing in this card, we're going to have that on Saturday night.
Yeah, I think this is going to bring out the best of the Brazilian fans because they have a lot of the heroes to cheer for on this one. They have both Nogueiras. They have Shogun. Damian Maia has a lot of fanfare here. Bigfoot. There's a lot of guys that people have a lot of respect for and have followed for a very long time.
Yep.
And, you know, maybe you look at some of those fighters, a lot of them maybe are on the tail end of their career. I think there's like 10 fighters on this card who are 35 or older, which is pretty rare for that
rare.
For that kind of situation. But it's a great card. The fans, you know, there's no way that they could leave this event unhappy with the amount of names they're getting. Just the legendary fighters. You never know. This could be the last time you see the Nogueiras fight. Both of them could be the last time Shogun. Any of these things are possible. There's fighters that are really in the twilight of their career right now, and this could be a moment that signifies the end for them, or a defining moment that's just of absolute brilliance in front of their hometown crowd. So whichever way it goes, I think it's going to be memorable night, memorable fights, and I think this is a card more than worth, you know, spending your night to stay at home and watch.
Well said, my man. Well said. Well, I'm about out of frosty beverage here, so it's about time for us to take a break and go refill these bad boys. And just want to thank you for spending the time. I hope you're enjoying Brazil so far, and appreciate all the hard work that you've been putting in while you've been down here.
Thank you, and it's great to be back on, as always.
Welcome back to the MMA Roadshow in Rio de Janeiro, or Rio de Janeiro, if you want to be tight like that. Back in Brazil, so of course, back by popular demand. Obviously, everybody said, make sure you get Fernanda back on there because she is amazing. She knows her shit, and she's good to talk to. It's good to hear. So thank you for joining me again.
Thank you for inviting me again.
Absolutely.
I love doing the podcast the first time, so I'm excited.
Awesome. We've got a cold beer in hand there. I'm a little caipirinha here for me. And we're going to talk some MMA. I want to say first, I figured it out. I had to go back and count. This is my 7th time in Rio de Janeiro.
Yes.
And 7 UFC events, obviously. I feel like the buzz around this one is as high as anything. Maybe the first card with Anderson, and it's just been so long since the UFC had been here. But I don't know. I feel like there's like some excitement around this and around Ronda Rousey. As somebody who's deep in it, covering it, I mean, here, what do you think? Is that just me that I'm seeing it in these couple little days, or are people kind of pumped about this thing?
People are pumped because Ronda is such a big thing here. Like, everybody loves Ronda, and the Ronda craze is international. Like, everybody loves her. But, yeah, I would say the first event was by far the biggest one.
Right.
In terms of fan excitement, because everywhere you went, people were talking about it. People who didn't even know what the UFC was, they were just excited about the fact that it was here. So
wow.
They wanted to watch it. And so it was kind of like unparalleled. And I don't think I've ever seen that happen again.
Yeah.
But with this one, what happens is everybody knows Ronda. So everybody knows what's going on again, which hasn't happened in a while. Like Aldo has extreme popularity. he managed to play well off the fact that he's like a Flamengo fan. It's our biggest team.
Right.
So he's kind of like a well-known guy around here. But this one, yeah, it kind of has an aura, I think. I can kind of get what you're trying to say.
Yeah.
And yeah, I would agree. This
it's a little different. Like it's a big
aura.
Spectacular event or something, not just another fight card.
Yeah, everybody's kind of like overwhelmed by the possibility of seeing Ronda. You saw it at the workouts.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. I mean, we had talked before, and I think, you know, we kind of said, look, Ronda's going to have some fans here, more than Betch. She's more well-known than Betch. But I just was not expecting what we saw at the open workouts. I mean, people were polite and respectful to Betch and all that. But, I mean, I call it, like, it's like the Beatles. You know, it's like old footage of, like, women going crazy, like, running towards the Beatles. And that's what it was like. And for Ronda to just run out there and jump over the fence and evading security I know you knew that she'd have some support, but did that surprise even you a little bit, just how strong it was?
Honestly, not really.
Wow.
Yeah. I remember because we were backstage, right? So we couldn't really see what was going on, and we could just hear the people screaming, like, what is Ronda up to now? Because she would do something, everybody would go like, whoa, crazy about it. So I was expecting that already. And we had talked about this before, and I had said, I do believe that this is going to be the first card we're going to watch here in which the Brazilian fighter might get less of a crowd going for them.
You're 100% right about that.
So I kind of knew, and I think we talked about this in the previous podcast.
Yeah.
For those of you who missed it.
You should download it
right away,
obviously.
You should download it because obviously it was amazing because we're pretty awesome. But before you do that, I'll just sum it up for you.
Or we'll just save you an hour and a half.
You an hour and a half and just, you know, get straight to it. I completely forgot what I was going to say about the first podcast. And I'm not even drunk yet. Yeah. That is sober me.
Well, you were saying just right how you now, knew that Ronda was going to have all the support.
Yeah, but I would say, because here when you do big media, you do a lot of global, you do a lot of TV appearances, and you do big things. That's how you get your name around, and that's how sometimes smaller fighters have more of a reputation of a fame than bigger fighters
right.
or more relevant
because
fighters.
Because they've done the rounds.
Ronda did the smartest things here. She did Caras, which is our like celebrity magazine, wearing a bikini, which was also pretty clever.
Not a bad idea.
It was not even her idea, but she did that. She did Global. She did a lot of like, so she hit the big media. She hit the right outlets, and she came across as such a great person, which she is. She's awesome.
She is.
So her image, like the way that her image got built in Brazil, was amazing. So she's a force to be reckoned with, and she's a big fan favorite.
Why do you think she caught on so much here? I mean, obviously she doesn't speak the language. Why do you think she caught on? I mean, I think the women thing of it appeals to a certain population.
Yes.
The fact that she's attractive doesn't hurt for you know, to appealing to the male demographic. But
yeah.
I mean, can you put your finger on it? I mean, I guess it's hard to identify why somebody's a star. But I mean, is there one thing that why Brazilian people latched on to Ronda as well?
That's a hard one because I've struggled with that question too. I mean, like we said, you know, you guys know that, well, if you have heard the first podcast too, you know that I'm a big feminist. So I don't like saying that, but it is obvious that her looks are a major factor.
Right.
If Ronda wasn't attractive, she probably wouldn't have the same popularity. But having said that, I just think she has magnetism. She has, like, the it factor. She has something that draws you in. When she speaks, you want to listen to her. And that's something that you can't build.
Yeah.
It's something that the person just has.
You just have to have it.
Ronda has it. And in Brazil, I think maybe because she's very blonde and very American. But at the same time, she's professed her love for Brazil numerous times. And it didn't come across as fake. It didn't come across as forced.
Saying that she wants to leave a belt here.
She did say that. She said that in our interview, too. She said that. She wants to leave. And if she says something, she will probably do it.
Oh, yeah. Because it's not like that'll go away. Like, didn't you say you were going to leave a belt
here?
Yeah,
exactly.
I didn't say that.
She made a big donation to Flavio Canto's institution. She has always said that she loves Flavio Canto. When she throws knowledge in about Brazil, because sometimes some people go like, oh, I love Brazil. I like soccer and Pele and something. And
right.
It just comes across like, oh, you're just a douche trying to get our love. She's when she says, she's like, I fought there this year and people did this and people did that, you know she's not faking it.
Yeah.
So I think she kind of built her relationship with Brazil in a very smart and organic way. So I would say all of those factors combined.
Let's talk about the fight itself. I know that, you know, I mean, not only do you work in this sport, but you're a fan of the sport as well. I mean, you love fighting. You can break down a fight. Are Brazilians giving Betch a chance to win this fight? Because I can tell you in America, it's and I don't want to insult Betch. I mean, she earned her way here. She works hard. I respect anybody that steps in there. But, man, you watch them at the open workouts, and you see the difference in the speed and the athleticism and the quickness. So I'm just curious, what's the Brazilian media saying? Are they giving Betch a chance? Do they think she can win this fight, or do they think that Ronda's just too much?
No, the Brazilian media knows.
Right.
Knows what's up. And, I mean, we know that crazy things happen. And, like, Matt Serra, enough said.
That's the one you go to. That's the sport. If Matt Serra can beat George St. Pierre, anything can happen in a fight.
Anything can happen. So, and I hate saying that, but it's true. Anything can happen. But logically, and it's not a demerit to Betch. I mean, sure, in her way here, she's undefeated, but this is hasty.
Yeah.
You know, the fight made sense. It still does. But at the same time, she just started off. She started her career way, like she was like 28 or something. And, you know, she was like an accountant.
Right.
And she gave that up because she started training to lose weight. And then she liked it. And then she started fighting because she's got heavy hands. And she's a, you know, she's a natural, some would say. But being a natural against a person.
An Olympic caliber athlete.
Exactly. She's like, she came out of the womb being an athlete. Like, that's her, literally, her mom is an athlete. So she's like, so that's her entire life. And it's very hard to compete against that. Not that no one can, but you can clearly see the difference. So with the media, people know what's up. With the fans, I get this question a lot. So does Betch really stand any sort of chance?
Right.
Because if they're still asking the question.
They even.
I mean, but, and I say this, that what I just said, like, well, she can.
Right.
Things can happen, but the probability of them happening is very slim. So.
What is it about Betch? Because I will say this, I respect the heck out of her all week long. The confidence that she's walking around with, the swagger that she's walking around with, the way that she got in Ronda's face today at the media day. Like, I always say, you can tell when somebody's being fake. Like, you can tell when somebody's, like, just trying to hype themselves up. Like, she believes in herself. Like, I think, as any fighter should, but you can see cracks sometimes where you can see, like, that guy's doubting himself or that girl's doubting herself. So what is it about her? I mean, what do you – I've interviewed her a couple times. Obviously, it's through an interpreter, and you know how those things go. But I mean, what can you tell us about her? Like, why is she that way? Where does that come from? Have you been able to identify it?
I've talked to Betchy, and like, she likes us. She likes Brazilians in general. I like her. She's a very sweet person. She's funny. She's very outgoing. She's very spontaneous. And yes, she's very confident in herself. And like you, I noticed, and it's to the point of, like, self-delusion.
Yeah.
It sounds derogatory when I say it like that, but it's not like that. It's just she really does believe in herself. And
right.
This is something I was talking to my coworkers because we added her videos and things, and we're like, it's not like she's faking it. Like, Betchy, she's not feigning confidence.
Right.
That's her.
Yeah.
She totally believes in herself. And I think it might come from a few things. She's undefeated. I mean, you know, things change in a person's head when they lose for the first time.
Yep.
You saw what Barão, when he lost for the first time after so many years.
Yeah, not the same anymore.
You know, things happen when a fighter loses. And I think with Betchy, and she probably, I mean, even you, like, as a person, when you go into a situation that is unlikely, you tend to kind of, like, kid yourself a little
bit. Yeah.
Even if your rational side tells you otherwise. With Betch, it's like, she's holding on to that.
I agree. It's interesting to see. Tough assignment for her, no doubt. I mean, it's obviously I favor Ronda Rousey like everybody else does. I don't see how Betch can win the fight unless Ronda hurts herself or something, to be honest with you. And I don't mean that in any disrespectful fashion whatsoever. It's just the high praise. It's just that's how good Ronda Rousey is. It's not that Betts isn't any good.
Exactly.
It's just, gosh, I feel like Ronda's like on another level right now.
It's not a demerit to anyone.
No.
I mean, because Betts is new to the sport, but Misha hasn't been around the sport for so long. And, you know, other girls. And Ronda is still one level above them. Not that she can't be beat.
Right.
But
she just has a little head start on
him. Yeah, when she says, and Dana says that she's the Mike Tyson of women's MMA, of MMA in general. She is.
She is.
That's.
I know people get so mad when they hear that, but I completely agree. I agree with that on many levels. One, because of her domination, but two, because I honestly believe people don't care who she's fighting. Like, it doesn't matter who the person on the other side of the cage is.
They're
like, I just want to see Ronda go in there and crush somebody, and that's that.
True story. I think the only fight who could actually, and this is like, Brazilians say that all the time, but I'll have to go with them when I say that Cyborg is the only interesting fight right now.
Sure.
Just because Cyborg, if Cyborg had the same style, she has a completely different style, and she's so strong that you can kind of see a scenario in which Cyborg manages to use, like, brute force.
Right.
To defeat.
Completely.
Yeah, Ronda.
Oh, I'd love to see that fight. It's got to happen at some point. I mean, I don't think Ronda has to go up to 145 to do it.
Me neither. I think Cyborg should come down.
I agree. I totally agree. I think that's the division that Ronda established. That's the division. That's where the belt is in the UFC. I think she's come down. Would Brazilians rally around Cyborg?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They would.
So
they would.
If this was Cyborg versus Rousey, Rousey might not get the kind of love that she's getting.
I think, like, obviously, again, the sexist thing. Ronda's good looking. So, yes.
Right.
And she's like, she's blonde, all-American looking, And this, again, plays a factor, which I absolutely hate. But at the same time, Cyborg is a big favorite in Brazil because of her style. She's so aggressive.
She's fun to watch. Yeah.
She demolishes people.
Yeah.
So she's like our Tyson in a way. So Tua, I think that would be a more even, and people already know who she is.
It had been a while since I'd seen her fight in person, and I was hitting that Invicta card on the International Fight Week.
Yeah.
My God, when she lands punches, like, you just, you feel, again, you feel like you watched a crime scene or something. It's just like, oh, God, like, oh, it's sad. I mean, you can see the person literally wilt. The girl that she was fighting had all the confidence in the world, was like, I'm going to shock the world, I'm going to do this, and then she got caught, and it was just, oh, no, get me out of here. It was rough. I'd love to see that. Okay, 7-fight main card. Bottom line for American fans, The Ultimate Fighter Brazil. I'm sure nobody watched any of it. I don't mean that as an insult, but we've got enough. I mean, we've got 14 seasons of The Ultimate Fighter airing simultaneously from all over the world. So I want to ask you, because I don't think anybody's going to know about the fights themselves, but I do want to ask you, of those two tough finals, do any of those fighters stand out to you? Like, is there a name that you say, okay, listen, guys, I know you're going to be watching this fight card. I know you're not going to know who you're watching fight, but, you know, one of these four guys is somebody you should keep an eye on because they have a great story or they look like they could be legit someday. Is there any name out of those four that might be worth watching, or is that just that's when you go run to the store to get a burger or a pizza or make your beer run or whatever?
Actually, the technical level this season was very high, and I heard that. I didn't even watch the entire season because it was on so late. But I watched enough to know that these were, like, hardworking guys who had been around for a while, a lot of them. Like Delano, for instance.
Right.
He's a veteran. So even when you're talking to a person who doesn't really know MMA that well, when you say Delano, they know him.
Yep.
So he's a guy who's very experienced, a veteran, who will not – he will probably not be overwhelmed by being in the Octagon.
Right.
The first time.
Sure.
Which plays a big factor.
Yeah.
So that's why I would favor him in that fight. And he's that guy that everybody in Brazilian MMA point out as like, oh, he should have been in the UFC already.
True, yeah.
So Delano, obviously. Bruno has a very interesting story. Fernando Bruno, the butcher.
Right.
he cooks. He's a cook, right? I actually did a story on him for the Aldo fight, because they were staying at the Pastana, right? And he was cooking at the Pastana. He's a Pastana cook.
So crazy.
So he was cooking Aldo's food, and they're teammates. And so the basic gist of the story was, like, obviously cooking for the guy you train with, and but also like he knows what fighters eat. It was very interesting. Yeah,
very cool connection.
And Combate.com interviewed him, and they asked, "What do you like to do better, fighting or cooking?" And he said, "Cooking." He likes cooking better, but fighting pays the bills. So it's kind of hilarious.
That's fantastic.
And I talked to him. I think you talked to him. I don't know if he's very shy.
Yeah.
He's a very, very shy guy. He needs a lot of media work. But he's an interesting character.
That'll be cool to see, because you're right. Because obviously he's in a huge position right now. But then not only to be in this huge position, but now you're going to be – I mean, I'm assuming HSBC is going to be sold out if it's not already. It's going to be rocking. You know, it's going to be a great atmosphere. And it's not like they're on the prelims. I mean, they're on the main card. The building will be – full by then. Man, what a huge stage to make an introduction.
Yeah, it's going to be great. And I met the other two, Leiko and Reginaldo. Reginaldo's like, so I talked to his coaches a little bit, and they were saying that they had never seen someone as dedicated to training as this guy. It's like a job for him where he likes to punch in and punch out. Like, he never misses a day of training. He's completely religious with his training, very dedicated, very focused. Did you see how skinny he is?
Yeah.
That is a guy who's committed to his diet. Which I commend him for that.
That is true.
Because he probably doesn't drink beer.
Nope. There's no way.
Doesn't eat ice cream.
He would never be on the MMA Roadshow ever.
His loss, man. So, and Glyco, from what I heard from his coaches during this season, also very hardworking, very dedicated, takes to instruction very well. So he's like a sponge. He absorbs knowledge very well, which is obviously an amazing skill for a guy to have. He's very big for the division too.
Right.
You saw, he's like, yeah. Oh, God. He's way bigger than Bruno.
Yeah.
So Bruno's actually small. He could be he's a featherweight.
I think so too.
Yeah.
I think he's going to drop.
And you can see to me how disciplined Glyco is, because he stayed in that weight during the season.
True. True.
I mean, to fight at your actual weight during the season is tough.
It's tough.
It's tough. No it's pun tough. Intended. So, yes, you have to. I'm sorry. That was awful.
It was right
guys.
There. It was on the TV.
Sorry,
right
guys.
There.
I just had to. It's kind of like, yeah. So. that shows dedication too, and I think he's very marketable too. Like we could turn him into kind of a media thing. I think very nice, very personable.
MMA legends on the card, obviously. Yes. I just want to get your thoughts real quick, because it's guys that are kind of at the end of their career. I mean, Little Nog, Big Nog, Shogun, even Antonio Silva. I think has had some rough times lately. The Nogueira brothers, obviously, they've just been around forever. Yeah. Respect them both and looking forward to the fights. But just wonder, are there any of those names that you think this might be the last time we see them fight? Or, they've got to win here. Because Shogun even admitted, he's like, I know I have to win here. The Nogueira brothers have been asked about retirement for a decade. Antonio Silva's had some rough losses lately. So I just wonder if there's any of those names that stand out that you're like, man, they got to look good, or this might be the last time we see him.
Honestly, Antonio.
Yeah.
Because Big Nog, he's an institution. Unless he gets, like, knocked out in a very awful fashion or submitted, which you won't. So the UFC won't fire him. They might do like they did with Chuck. Like,
right.
Try really hard. Like,
Are you sure?
You absolutely 100% positive that you don't want to retire. We'll give you a good job here doing nothing. So, that's the thing with Big Nog. He does that because he loves it. He doesn't have to do it anymore. He has a bunch of gyms all over Brazil. The media loves him.
Oh, yeah.
He can get opportunities anywhere. He's a business guy. Very clever. Charismatic. So he's actually a commentator for us. So he's doing comments now, and he's doing well. So he's a very skilled guy. He doesn't need to fight. He fights because he loves to, and he trains like a horse.
Right.
I've seen him train. A guy with that many injuries, that many – so that's Will right there. So I don't – if he loses, I don't think that's – it's just, oh, I lost again. I want to retire.
Right.
He might, but I don't think a loss would push him to it. You're probably like, oh, I'm just over it. Right. Yeah. Bye, guys. Thanks.
I thought he should have retired when he won the first time down here against Schaub, because I thought everybody thought he was going to lose that fight, and it was such a beautiful moment. And I mean, not that I'm somebody that says he should retire. I just thought it would have been a cool way to walk out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just to walk out on that high note where literally, I mean, I've said it before, but turned around and people in the crowd were crying. I mean, people were crying because he won.
The media was crying, dude.
Yeah. That would have been an amazing way to walk out.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about rest of 2015. I just found out we were supposed to come back here in September. I don't think that event's happening anymore, and I don't think it's happening anywhere. There was a September 19th event. Yeah, the next event is November 7th. At the beginning of the year, they had announced a September 19th fight night, and it was tentatively scheduled for Brazil. And it sounds like that event's not happening at all.
Yeah.
November 7th in Sao Paulo, I believe, was announced. And then maybe December? Did you hear anything about that, or is it just November?
I don't know.
Just November.
I'm not like an in-the-loop person. I just heard November.
I did talk to Giovanni briefly earlier this week, and I had heard some rumblings that maybe there will only be four events in Brazil next year.
That's good, though.
And Giovanni wouldn't necessarily confirm, but he did tell me that what we want to do is focus on bigger, better, spectacular events. And it sounds like you're on board. You don't – the seven a year was too much down here.
God. I mean – let's face it, Maya LaFleur is not a main event. I mean,
right?
Ever.
Right.
In the history of mankind.
Right.
I love Damien. You know that. I think he's a very skilled athlete. That's just not a main card fight.
And I like LaFleur. Like, I think he's a kind of underrated guy that's got some skills, and I love Damien Maya too.
Yeah.
But again, you're not going to sell tickets on that.
Yeah, exactly. Like the mainstream guys are not going to go sell out, you know, an arena to watch that. So, and it wasn't the original main event for that one. It was Assunção, and that would not have sold out
even
either.
Even Assunção Favre would have sold either.
So we don't have enough people to make four spectacular cards. So if they want to do like half as events in half empty arenas, we can do seven a year.
Right.
But
four ones.
Sounds like a very good number. You do like two really big ones.
Right.
Pay-per-view, get Aldo, get, you know, another big name, and then maybe two smaller ones, but in areas that haven't had an event yet or that are filled with fans. To me, that sounds like a perfect.
Still want to go see Curitiba someday. They want to do like the stadium there.
They
or whatever.
Should.
Yeah.
Curitiba is like, as you obviously know, and everybody who watches MMA knows. Yeah, they have like a very specific MMA culture, like a very old school roots MMA culture. So I think that would probably be a hit there.
The other big thing I heard, and it makes a lot of sense, was a move towards getting younger talent, because obviously we talked about Nogueira's are getting older, Antonio Silva's getting, I mean, a lot of the Brazilian talent is getting older. I mean, Machida might not fight a lot longer. Anderson Silva might. I mean, all these Brazilian stars, Vitor, that we've been seeing forever, you know, they got done. Then you got a guy like Thomas Almeida, who looks like the future. And I just wonder what kind of sense you, because obviously Brazil has been this pipeline of talent. Do you feel like there's still a whole bunch of guys that are like UFC caliber that are – you know, that are young, that just need a chance to break in, or is it cooling off? Is there not as much as there used to be? I don't know. I mean, what's the scene like now?
Honestly, we decided to do a story a while back about the renewal in the UFC. So we started kind of like thinking about the guys that were coming up and like who are under 30. That's like generous.
Yeah.
For young, for an athlete.
Right.
So not many.
Interesting.
So I don't really keep track of the national scene.
Sure.
I don't. If you have like UFC cards, like four of them in 1 week,
can't
it's
watch
very
regional
hard to
MMA
keep track.
Anymore. Yeah.
So there are a few guys, like a few names, like Jonas Bilharinho, the guy who was being Conor McGregor for Aldo's. There are like a few names that kind of stand out.
Knocked
He's
out
young.
Jose Aldo.
He's like my. It wasn't
no,
him.
No, I'm just kidding.
Mean. he's like, I think he's like my, he's 26 or something, 27, So you hear a few names, but even the guys like Delano, he's not that young.
Right.
So even the guys that you hear that should be in the UFC already but aren't, they're in their 30s.
I know. I'm interested to see what the next generation is like, because I'm hoping there are more like Thomas Almeida, because that guy is
But
that
I think that's why
watch.
People got so excited about Thomas. because he's like this young guy. He's like our Charles the Bronx now.
Right.
Like Charles was the it was like Charles.
He was the it guy. Yeah.
Yeah. He's rebuilding himself.
He is.
But I actually did. Okay, I'm just gonna stop about talking about the stories that I did. But this one story.
Nobody's seen it, so it's okay. You can tell us.
About we did it on Thomas before the flying knee thing, and we were talking about how. They were gonna plan his career in order to keep him from becoming a Charles Story.
Interesting.
Because Charles came, it's the same thing. Like he came out insanely talented. Charles
right.
with the subs, and then Thomas with the KOs, and young and promising and interesting and exciting, and with that aura to them when they fight, which is also something that you can't really.
Right.
Yeah, it's just them. So. They both came out like that, and then Charles in his third fight, I think it was Jim Miller or something. Like,
yeah.
No, why do you do that? He's a kid.
Yeah.
He can't fight an experienced guy like that. And that was like Thomas's test,
yep.
too. He passed it.
Yes, he did. He had a tough first round. I was like, oh, no, maybe it's not going to work. And then just incredible, came out the flying knee. It was just. Shocking! The sound that made the night.
We've even heard it in the broadcast though.
Oh.
Brutal.
Terrible.
Even Charles spoke to us in that story. Like he talked to us about it. Like he needs to be careful and.
That's cool.
And Thomas is very smart about it too.
I did want to ask you real quick.
Yeah.
Before we go get some cold beer because I need some.
More.
USC, haven't seen. Yeah, I need more. I'm done. It looks like my mom who's sitting over here stole some of my caipirinha, which kind of upset me, but. She thought she was being slick about it. I had to ask. I haven't seen you since UFC 189.
Yeah.
Obviously, a huge event from a Brazilian perspective. Jose Aldo was supposed to be in there. Wasn't. What in the hell happened that everybody came out and said that fight was fixed? Why? What was the conspiracy theory there that everybody blew up and was saying what? That the UFC made Chad lose so that I just don't get it.
Can you hear my eyes rolling to the back of my head, people? Because that's what they're doing right now, like major sighs, because I cannot stand this anymore. What happened was, well, obviously the way it ended, like, you know, a few seconds
right,
to the
right,
round
right.
and then everything else. But it's a culture thing, I think.
Yeah.
We always do that. There's even like a bogus, like, story that goes online every time something weird happens. So it starts off. So it started with the 1998 World Cup.
Right.
Because like the story was that we sold it to the French.
Right.
The story is like, if you saw what happened backstage at the FIFA World Cup, you would be disgusted. So they just like switched the text around to like fill in
that's
with
hilarious.
Whatever's happening.
Right, right, right.
And it became a meme. So that was the thing. Like that's immediately started going
Got
around.
It.
After the Conor fight, if you knew what happened backstage at the UFC 189, you guys would be disgusted. So, and I think it's kind of a culture thing, an underdog complex thing that we transfer. Like, we had that discussion before. They said that about JDS with Kane.
Right.
So it's not the first time we're hearing this.
Right.
We heard that about Anderson. Like, it happens. So I think it's kind of like, an underdog complex, a corruption so entrenched in our culture that we can't see how other people like keep shit straight.
That's true.
So it was kind of like my job and the job of people who actually follow the sport. And trust me, no serious journalists, media, people who know the minimum about the sport, nobody said anything of that sort.
Because that's good to know.
We know how much the UFC has at stake. So they're not going to jeopardize their
regardless of what Vanderlei
business.
Silva may say.
Oh, God. Don't even get me started on that. yeah. So we know that. And that's like our explanation. Well, our first one was watch the fight. Get punched like that. See
right.
what happens. Train for 10 days. Against a guy.
Yeah.
See what happens.
Four of which are doing media. One of which is traveling.
And
one of
like
which is cutting weight.
Yeah.
So basically, train for like 6 hours.
Yes.
And then
against a guy who's been training for 4 months for
yeah.
the fight of his life.
Exactly.
And who has the entire, you know.
Did Conor sell you? Did Conor sell you yet? Or do you think Jose destroys him?
Not at all. I mean, not at all. He didn't sell me. That was like the opposite of it. I thought it could be a competitive fight because of Aldo's style. But that to me just showed how how green he is. I mean, Chad took him on a full camp would have chewed him up and spit him.
I still pick Chad on a full camp. I ended up picking Connor in our staff picks.
Yeah,
I picked Connor,
pick Chad,
but on a full camp, I would pick Chad.
Yeah, we even had that discussion because it was kind of like I picked Frankie over Connor.
Yeah,
and I definitely pick Aldo over Connor unless he, you know, steps up his game a lot. Aldo is a much more like he's a well-rounded guy, very smart. Very aggressive, so I don't see Connor's way out there.
I'm hoping they do it at AT&T Stadium, Dallas Cowboys Stadium. My hometown, number one, which is awesome. So I get a free trip home to see my family. So you should definitely come up there for that if it happens because the stadium is incredible, man. It's just this most modern, most amazing, most incredible facility ever. And to think of putting a stadium show on would be amazing. I think if they could do – if they could find a way to do Aldo and Connor a Rousey fight – against anybody, put CM Punk on there. Like, no, you know, obviously he can fight whoever. He'll bring in the wrestling fans. If you could put Cain Velasquez on there because you got the Hispanic crowd in Texas, which has a big Latino audience, it would be awesome. But even if it's just Aldo McGregor, I hope they can do Cowboy Stadium because that would be awesome. I feel that fight was already so big, and now, like, it's even bigger. You know what I mean? So I just hope they've been talking about doing a stadium show for so long. But they're always like, you got to have the right fight. You got to have the right fight. I hope it's that fight because I think people are going to go nuts, man. And I'm telling you what, you cannot believe how many Irish people were there. The Irish people, like everybody was saying, oh, Ireland's going to travel so strong. You're like, yeah, okay, whatever. No, it felt like the whole damn place was Irish. It was pretty amazing. So I'm ready to see. I hope Aldo's healing up well. And I'm sure he's more pissed off than ever. And I can't wait to see that fight.
Yeah. Neither. I'm very interested.
It'll be a good one. All right. Yeah. We are going to wrap up because my mom has stolen all of my cocktail, and now I need to re-up on beverages. So
priorities, guys.
That's it. That's what you got to do. So, Fernanda, thank you very much. I look forward to watching UFC 190 with you this weekend. It'll be fantastic. And thank you for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Always glad to be back.
Welcome back to the MMA Roadshow in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. And I thought, what better way to end this particular show than to have a special guest with me, a frequent listener of the show, although sometimes I'm embarrassed to say that I know she is listening. New Orleans and Glasgow come to mind right away. But it is my mom. Dawn Morgan is her name. She has made the trip down to Brazil to watch UFC 190 this Saturday night. Ronda Rousey, of course, the feature attraction, the reason she's coming. So thought I would have you on. Never did you think, I'm sure, that I would be interviewing you about mixed martial arts.
Oh, absolutely not. No. Good evening.
Let me set the scene here. We are sitting in the bar. This is the Dry Martini Bar in the Sheraton. It is 2-for-1 happy hour, so that's great. We've got a couple of caipirinhas with some cachaça, of course, not the vodka route like they'll do at Texas Day Brazil. We do it right. You just got back from seeing Corcovado, the Christ the Redeemer statue.
I did.
A little tour.
It was beautiful. It was beautiful. The traffic made the tour extra long.
Yes, y'all were about 2 hours late.
And we were really afraid of missing happy hour today.
Well, Mike and I were just talking earlier in the evening about the fact that we did think Rio was a lot safer than people make it out to be. And then you came back from your tour about 2 hours late. And
yeah.
I'm like, I totally jinxed it. She just got kidnapped. But everything was all right.
Everything was great. Everything was great. It was beautiful. It was beautiful. It was worth it. But the traffic is interesting.
The traffic's
rough. There are excellent drivers here.
Well, let's get your first impressions of Rio. Obviously, it's funny. I mean, I've been down here. I think this is my 23rd time is what I calculated out to come down to Brazil, 7th time in Rio de Janeiro. This is your first time. So it's interesting, I think, to get a fresh set of eyes. Certainly, Brazil, there's some beautiful things about Rio. And there's some things that are a little scary as well and a little intimidating. And, of course, we were flying down here, and in the airport, this couple that was sitting next to us in the Admiral's Club finds out you're going to Rio, and the first thing they say is, be careful. Walk around like you know something and you have a gun, I think was the advice, which
Absolutely.
Is a little weird. So, you know, I've got to think you were a little bit nervous. I know you didn't have a lot of impressions. you didn't exactly, like, read up on the city or anything like that. So I know you didn't have a lot of expectations, but just let me know. What are your first impressions of Rio de Janeiro?
Excitement, terribly excited. The foliage is beautiful. To me, it all looks like a rainforest. I can't wait to see the real rainforest. I love the buildings and the houses on the cliffs. I think it's beautiful.
The favelas, you mean? Or are you talking about the nice houses on the
cliffs? The nice houses are absolutely beautiful, and the favelas I'm learning about.
It's wild. They do look pretty from a distance, but then you realize what they really are. It's kind of tough.
Yeah, and I haven't been around water in a long, long time, and I just love looking at the ocean. Sleeping with the windows open.
Yeah, it's great hearing the ocean roll in. Well, you've been to a couple of fights before, mm-hmm. MMA fights. I've bought you tickets when the UFC or when Strikeforce rolled through Dallas. You come to some weigh-ins and some UFC fights, but you certainly never gotten on a plane to go see a UFC fight. Mm-hmm. So when this fight got announced, and this is the way I've kind of remembered this the story to everybody, and I'll let you tell me your version of it, but, you know, this fight got announced. It was Ronda Rousey in Brazil, and you're obviously a big Ronda Rousey fan, and you know that I come to Brazil a lot, and that I'm a big fan of Brazil, and I think the two things together, I say that I think you were kind of half-jokingly said, I should go down there, and I think I probably half-jokingly just laughed and said, ha-ha, yeah, you should.
Absolutely.
And then I know I at least gave some thought, and I thought, well, you know, we don't spend a lot of time together. Obviously, you live in mm-hmm. Dallas, where I grew up, and I live in Vegas, and I thought, you know what? She actually should pull this thing off. She should get a passport for the first time in her life, get a Brazilian visa, and come down here. Is that fairly accurate?
True. First, I didn't know I had to pay for a passport.
You thought the government should just give it to
you? The government should just give it to me. They should want me to bring my American dollars down here, but the passport was around $300 because I had to expedite.
Oh, the passport and then the visa
as well? The passport's $300, and I expedite, and then I find out I have to get a visa to visit Brazil to spend my money here. And I didn't understand that either. So I had the money invested, got a flight, invested the money there. I'm going.
That's awesome. So what was it? I mean, you've never – I'm fortunate enough in my job to fly around the world. I tell you a lot, hey, I'm going to Scotland, I'm going to Tokyo, I'm going to, you know, wherever it may be. So what was it about Rio or about Ronda? I mean, what was it that this was a time, even if you were half joking, you said, I think I should do it?
Well, I thought it was just perfect. I wanted to see Brazil and to see if I could find out why you love it so much. You do like it here. You have a lot of friends here. And Ronda Rousey – fighting here is perfect.
Now, you're I wouldn't even say a casual MMA fan. I mean, I think you follow it a little bit just because it's
hooked.
My job.
I'm getting hooked.
Are you starting to?
I'm getting hooked.
Well, I was going to say, though, but you have purchased Ronda Rousey pay-per-views.
My first pay-per-view.
Spent the $60 on watching Ronda fight. So why did you take the plunge, so to speak, spend that $60? Is it just a woman thing, or what is it about Ronda Rousey that you said, I will pay $60 to watch her fight?
I had seen pictures of her. You had told me, give me a little history of her. I don't know. It was just, I wanted to see her fight, so I spent the money, which surprised me.
Surprised you that you spent it?
Surprised me. And that was $60, and now this has surprised me. I really wanted to see her fight in Brazil. It's perfect for me.
And what did you think when you watched her on TV? What was your impression?
It's my trick. Totally class. She walks out with class.
Right. Fierce.
Yes. Fearless. Fearless class. She's extremely friendly. I met her today, which just blew me away, thanking for that opportunity. She's a great dresser. She looks wonderful. She sets the fashion, and she's tough. She's tough. I admire her.
Yeah.
I admire her. I wish I had had someone to look up to like that when I was a little girl.
That's interesting. That's kind of what I was curious about. I mean, obviously, as a male, you know, especially athletically speaking, we have all the role models in mm-hmm. the world we want. And I just wonder if that's why she's such a crossover star. I mean, is it because – I mean, obviously, I can't relate to being a woman. But as a woman, is there something about seeing a woman achieve what she achieves and kind of succeed in a man's world? Is that something that you, like, really respect and connect to?
She can look beautiful. She can be a great athlete. She can love her family. And she's a very generous and personal person.
She's a role model for young
girls. She's a role model,
girls.
Not only for young girls, for senior citizens like myself.
Really?
Absolutely.
That's awesome.
Absolutely.
You did get to meet her briefly today. I wanted to ask you, I mean, I know you were impressed by her open workout. Obviously, you got a chance to see the open workouts. I know her athleticism is so apparent for anybody, whether you know anything about the sport or not. You did get to briefly meet her today after media day. Big thank you to Mike Dolce, actually, who kind of pulled you aside.
Yeah.
He had heard that you were in town, and he knew – I think everybody knows that you're a big Ronda Rousey fan, and Mike Dolce was kind enough to kind of pull you aside and say hello. What was that encounter like? I mean, starstruck a little bit? Or?
Well, I was starstruck, but I wasn't nervous at all. She's just so warm. She's very warm, and she's very professional, but she's very personable, and I was very comfortable. And I told her, you're my first pay-per-view. And she said, really?
And you told her you took a picture of her shoes as well, right?
Well, I did. I took a picture of her shoes.
You gotta share it all. When you're on the road show, you
just share it all. I said, I took a picture of your shoes. And she said, these? Which she had her sports shoes on. I said, oh, no. The hot ones. She had the most beautiful pair of black heels I've ever seen. So I'm squatting on the floor taking a picture of her shoes.
That's hilarious. Somebody that might not think she's quite as warm as you do is Betch Kohea. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they had a pretty intense little stare down today right before you had a chance to meet her. Again, knowing that you're not a huge follower of the sport, still kind of learning everybody, what have your impressions of Betch Kohea been this week as you've seen her both at the workouts and today's media day?
I took a picture of Betch today, and she just didn't – she doesn't have the warmth that Ronda has.
Right.
She does not have the warmth. And I said thank you. I'm a Ronda fan. I'm a Ronda fan all the way.
Nice. Well, I certainly won't be asking you to break down the fight, but knowing enough about the sport as you do and hearing what you're hearing throughout the week, are you expecting a one-sided beatdown? Because I don't know if you've read how many of the articles you've read.
No, I'm not expecting that.
Yeah, Ronda's saying she's going to stretch it out a little. What are you
I've
expecting?
Asked you, is she going to stretch it out or not? Is she maybe going to stretch it out? Other people have their opinions. I kind of think she will.
Kind of think she'll just beat on her for a while and make her pay for the...
She says that she's going to be walking out looking different than she did walking in. And I'm going to be there to watch it.
That's fantastic. So what do you think? Are you going to be are you going to be following other Ronda Rousey fights and traveling around the globe to watch this girl fight?
I'm afraid I might. I have a lot of money invested in my passport.
You got to use it.
And I've enjoyed
Don't
it.
Don't worry about your phone ringing. It's fine. No big deal. We just kind of hang out and do what we do. That's what makes this podcast so fun.
That's right. I have.
You have a cocktail. You just talk.
I do. And I've also been introduced to a wonderful new cocktail, which I truly love.
Awesome. It's very evident that you are my mother.
Yes, thank you.
Awesome. Well, I will let you off the hook. You look just nervous as can be over there and completely uncomfortable with a headset on. But I wanted to hear your opinion and share this experience. I guess we had a cool little family experience. It is pretty neat to me to see my mom in Rio de Janeiro here to watch fight. So even though I can tell you just look like you're about to puke over there, I really do appreciate you taking the time to sit down and talk to me.
You're welcome, and I intend to visit the MMA Roadshow again.
Good. From what I understand, I just need to do less New Orleans and Glasgow type shows to make you happy.
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit. A little bit more calm.
That's right. This is work and fun at the same time. If you can actually do it simultaneously, like, not only do you work hard and play hard, but you do it at the same fucking time. No, Anderson Silva and Ronda fought on the same night. That's why you didn't actually buy two. No, there were two great fights on the same night. So. All right, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, in real life, yeah. Not
yeah,
here.
Yeah, I know. Sorry, I didn't bring my
amateur hour. Oh, my God, I can't work like this. Where's my manager?
I've seen how you guys work. You can make it work.
Evil.
You can hear me?
Yeah.
Good. Feel comfortable?
No.
Why are you uncomfortable?
Because I sound twangy.
You're from Texas.
Yeah, that's right, baby.
All right.
Hell yeah.
You ready to get started?
After I have a drink. We'll be right back.